This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Monday, October 14th, 2024. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us today on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane, in for Rob Hart. The week ahead features key data on real retail sales and manufacturing. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, while it's too early to say Caleb Williams is a once-in-a-generation quarterback who will transform the Bears into perennial winners, his early development and success is bringing hope for a bright future for the franchise, along with an economic boost for local business. And joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Mark Gannis, president and co-founder of Sports Corp Limited here in Chicago. Mark, thanks for being with us on the Noon Business Hour. So a lot of excitement around the Bears, especially coming off their big win in London yesterday, and they now head into the bye week with a good record and a good-looking rookie quarterback. I'm curious what this could mean for business in the Chicago area as Bears fever kind of starts to take over here.
Well, there are a number of things that can be, and happy to be with you, Andy. A number of positive effects on the business community. First thing is, of course, the more people that are interested in the Bears, the more the sponsors are going to be interested in connecting with the Bears, the more people will be coming into town to watch Bears games. So it has a snowball effect on going to the games. So not only will there not be no-shows, but people will be paying premiums on the secondary market to go to games, the hotels, the restaurants. The feel-good story in sports has a tremendous effect on local businesses, as we have seen before with the Bulls, with the Cubs, and hopefully now again with the Bears. The other aspect to this is how it affects the Bears as a business. This, again, will increase their revenues, their sponsorships, and it could have a very significant impact on the stadium plan, wherever that might be, putting aside the location. If the Bears are both a successful team on the field and have prospects for great success in the future, it will make everything from the marketing of the stadium with suites and club seats and PFLs and sponsorship all the better, which will make the stadium a much better economic engine for the entire region.
Mark, I want to ask you, too. Obviously, you walk around Chicago, the Chicago area, especially on Sundays, you see a lot of that number 18 for Caleb Williams. And, we saw, I was shown the video from London yesterday of the quarterback kind of bringing his team around, showing a lot of leadership. I'm curious kind of what that rookie quarterback and then maybe that sense of leadership could mean for sales, maybe of jerseys as well. And then especially maybe the younger generation of fans as they're kind of, being taught that leadership role. They're seeing a young quarterback play well and really lead the team. What is the effect that the number one overall pick is having here?
Well, Caleb Williams is different. We have some great quarterbacks in the NFL. The ones that are the best ones are the ones that have the combination of talent, leadership, and focus. Caleb Williams is demonstrating that he has at least two of those three right off the bat. Focus, we're going to see it and have to see over time, and he'll keep getting to be a better quarterback with more coaching and more repetitions. I was at the game yesterday. I was on the field when he brought out the team. He, as a rookie, very early in his rookie season, was the one exhorting his teammates in the tunnel before they came out onto the field. He led them out on the field. He did it without his helmet on also. I say that because there's a visibility. You're comfortable having everybody look at you. That's what you want from a leader, especially in the huddle. I'll also tell you that if you looked around the stands yesterday, the most prominent jersey number, Bears, was still number 34. Walter Payton's jersey, even now, so many decades later, is still the one most Bears fans put on and that we saw in the stands yesterday. But this guy is a little different, this meaning Caleb Williams. You could see it in his understanding of the game. You can see it in his understanding of the role. There was a time he scrambled out. He was at about the 50-yard line, and he slid down. He had more room to go, but he knows you don't take unnecessary hits as a quarterback. Then when he was close to the goal line, there he took the hit because that's to try and score a touchdown. That kind of leadership an understanding of what your role is. And it's not just one drive, one play, one game, but that this should be a continuum of a decade or more of leading the Bears. That's rare. And that's something that Bears fans can really attach to.
Now, me and many others crossing our fingers that we see a lot more of those 18s, just like we see those 34s moving forward. Really exciting stuff. Thanks so much. That's Mark Gannis, president and co-founder of Sports Corp Limited here in Chicago. Coming up, previewing a week of closely watched economic data.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The health of the American consumer taking center stage this week as investors analyze retail sales and corporate earnings for signs of continued economic resilience. Joining us with a preview now is Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, economic futurist and economist at andrewbush.com. Andrew, thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour today. Plenty of eyes on the financial health of the U.S. consumer this week. What are you keeping an eye out for? What should people be mindful of this week?
Yeah, I mean, we've got retail sales out Thursday. They're expected to be up 0.3%. This has been, of course, the biggest driver in growth for the U.S. economy. One of the really pieces of good news that's out there is the fact that not only is inflation falling, but average hourly earnings, or what people take home, is actually going up. So that spread between those two is really going to help low-income, middle-income earners. So that will bolster their ability to spend ahead of Halloween and, of course, ahead of the big holiday spending season in December.
And if we're talking threats here to the U.S. economy, where does your attention go?
Yeah, I mean, probably along the lines of twofold. One is that we've got a lot of stuff going on in the Middle East. So far, it's playing out and not really impacting the oil markets to the extent we thought they would. It depends on if Israel decides to go after the oil facilities for Iran. That will be problematic. That will probably shoot up oil prices depending on what they attack. The other thing that most investors are watching too was Saturday's China's discussion of their stimulus package, which they didn't put really any numbers to. And so there's a worry there to some extent for the markets that they actually do things to bolster the stock market, but they don't do anything to bolster the economy. So there's some uncertainty there. And then, of course, there's a lot of uncertainty over the U.S. election. The polls have showed that former President Trump has actually come in and is equal with Vice President Harris right now. The betting markets are saying Trump's ahead, but the polling isn't quite there yet. So there's a disconnect between the polling and the Electoral College and what can happen. This is a big deal, not only for the United States, but across the world. Everybody's focused on this because there's such a significant difference in policy between President Trump and Vice President Harris.
Andy, quickly, before we let you go, you mentioned really a lot going on there. Just curious your forecast for the economy here heading into the back end of the year.
It's doing really well. Right now for third quarter, we're running at about 3% GDP, which is fantastic. And inflation, 2.4%. Unemployment at 4.1%. That's not soft landing. That's no landing. It's continuing to grow. So despite all the bad news that people put out there on both sides of the aisle, hey, underneath this, there's some really good things happening with the economy.
Good stuff to hear and helpful as always. Thanks so much. That's Andy Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, economic futurist and economist at andrewbush.com.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, the Illinois restaurant industry backing changes to credit card swipe fees, saying the adjustments are essential for the industry's post-pandemic recovery and safeguarding their thin profit margins. Let's check in now with Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach here at Chicago. Izzy, thanks for joining us. Tell me a little bit about these changes, these fees, and why some restaurants are getting behind them.
Well, first of all, credit card fees overall, you know, are over 3%. And while that doesn't sound like, you know, a huge amount of money, when you talk about a restaurant doing over $1 million a year, you're talking about potentially the restaurant paying $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for customers to use their credit card. So that's one aspect. But really the focus on what's going on in Illinois right now is the fight against the swipe fees, which, again, our restaurants are paying all of these fees over and above the taxes, right? Because when you swipe your credit card, you're paying the taxes and you're paying the tip. And the restaurant now ends up paying fees on top of taxes and fees on top of tips. So again, a restaurant, you know, if we can get rid of just the swipe fees in and of itself, a restaurant could easily save $5,000 to $10,000.
How does that, you know, obviously we as the consumer are maybe more focused on, you know, the pricing, the food when we go out to eat, but how do these fees really kind of take a toll on the margins for these restaurants?
Well, it's huge. I mean, you know, before the pandemic, nationally, profit margins for restaurants, full service restaurants, you know, might have been a net profit at the end of the day of, you know, 10-11%. And today with the price of food and the credit card fees going from below 2% to now over 3% in a relatively short period of time, and the addition of swipe fees, you know, we're talking about restaurants that used to net 10%, 12% profit are now down to maybe 5%, maybe 6%, less than half of what it was. And it's not just the expense of all these things, but all the additional fees piled on top of what these companies were doing before.
Is he curious, too, if this at all could have an effect on servers' earnings, maybe job opportunities in the restaurant industry as a whole?
Oh, absolutely. Because, again, these fees, just credit card fees are almost double what they were a few years ago. Swipe fees are way up. So restaurants are always looking for ways to cut costs. And one of the ways that they look is if they can't fight the credit card fees, the next thing they're going to look at is how do I cut labor? You know, because I need to make up, you know, those additional fees somewhere, and cutting labor is the next step.
A lot to keep an eye on here for sure. Great stuff as always. Thanks so much. That's Izzy Karish, president of Hospitality Works, a.k.a. the restaurant coach in Chicago.
News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A person is dead after being hit by a vehicle on a Chicago area expressway. Candidates for president focus their energy on battleground states. When planning for your retirement, you may want to avoid waiting too long. And it is Stock Picker Monday. We'll get suggestions from an investing pro. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 185 points, the NASDAQ gaining 153, and the S&P up about 44 points. AccuWeather says some sunshine and clouds for this afternoon. Breezy, much cooler than recent days. Some showers around later on, a high of about 58 degrees. Right now, partly sunny skies, 55 degrees in Chicago at 12:31. Well, investigations underway after a deadly incident on the Eisenhower Expressway this morning. It happened around 4:15 in the outbound lanes near 17th Avenue in Maywood. State police say a pedestrian was in the roadway and struck by a vehicle. They died at the scene. The circumstances not yet clear, and the identity of the victim has not been released. Former President Trump and Vice President Harris are on the campaign trail in Pennsylvania today. He is taking part in a town hall outside of Philadelphia. CBS News campaign reporter Nydia Cavazos reports immigration remains a key GOP issue.
He has recently campaigned on this, saying that if elected to a second term on November 5th, then he would save every town in America that has been what he refers to as invasion and conquering by immigrants. And now he has also promised to hunt down immigrants. And again, all of this is in the context of immigration. But this adds on to his anti-immigrant rhetoric that he has long been campaigning on.
Vice President Harris is holding a rally in the city of Erie tonight.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, stocks are trading higher on Wall Street, and joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Larry Adam, Chief Investment Officer at Raymond James. Larry, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us on the Noon Business Hour today. A big week for earnings. Kind of curious to start with companies you're keeping an eye on here.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That's exactly what's driving the market up today. There's anticipation that this is going to be another good earnings season on two fronts. First of all, earnings are probably going to come in better than expected. And if you look right now, it's expected to come in about 4.3%. We think it'll ultimately come in around 8 or 9%. And I think what the bigger focus will be is what do companies say about next year? And that's where I think you're going to see a lot of more optimism, because it does look as if the Fed's going to be able to engineer this soft landing, which means that we're going to be able to avert a recession.
Well, Larry, those stocks are at or near all-time highs here. Curious, you know, moving forward, do you see this this party, I guess you could call it, on Wall Street kind of rolling on here?
Yeah, I think the equity market will continue to move higher, but I would be a little bit more cautious here in the near term. As you know, this past Saturday, we celebrate the second-year anniversary of this bull market. And historically, when you go into the third year, returns tend to be a little bit more muted, on average, only around 2-3%. One of the reasons why the market tends to have more muted performance is because after you get through the second year, most people that wanted to buy equities have already done that, and they get really optimistic about the equity market. And as you know, sentiment tends to be a contrarian indicator, which means that you tend to get more muted performance when everybody gets optimistic.
As you mentioned, kind of pumping the brakes on the optimism there. So when you look at kind of biggest threats to stocks right now, where do you go?
So my three favorite sectors are technology, healthcare, and industrials. And one of the primary reasons for that is that when we go through this earnings season, just keep in mind that only 6 of the 11 sectors in the S&P 500 will have positive earnings growth this quarter. Well, guess what? All three of those sectors I just mentioned are going to have positive earnings growth. So I think that this is a market where you want to follow the earnings growth, and that's where you'll see the best performance going forward.
So you mentioned some of the markets there. I'm curious your advice to the individual investor kind of looking for yield here as 2024 comes to a close.
So a couple of things. Number one, I do think that cash is still a nice place to be. I'm not necessarily in a rush because I think the Fed is going to bring interest rates down quite slowly. But over the next 6 to 12 months, I would start to transition some of that money into longer maturity bonds, particularly in the high grade corporate bond space. I think that is a very good opportunity. And then I think in the equity market, a lot of people like to look for the areas that have the highest dividend yields. I would look for the areas that have the best growth in dividends over time. So not necessarily the highest, but the ones that have the most growth. And if you look at that formula, that's going to take you to a lot of the areas that I talked about before: technology, healthcare, and the industrial companies.
Larry, before we let you go here, you mentioned the election coming up. I'm curious kind of your thoughts on how that can impact investing decisions or if it does at all here.
No, I think it's a great question. And one of the things that we've done with a lot of analysis is that there is no statistically significant relationship with who wins the White House and what the ultimate performance is going to be, either for the economy or the equity market. And one of the things that I always tell people is that, you know, a president doesn't create their own reality when it comes to an economy. They inherit an economy, and then they have to make adjustments along the way. And in fact, if you look at our format, we have 10 factors that we look at in determining what our view is on the equity market. Politics ranks number 8, right? So it's far more important to know how the economy is doing, corporate earnings, valuations, the Fed, sentiment. Those are more important indicators for the long-term performance of the equity market.
Really important stuff, especially to keep in mind here as we roll closer to that election in November. Thanks so much. That is Larry Adam, Chief Investment Officer at Raymond James. Up next, the element of timing when it comes to your retirement.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, as you set up that plan for retirement, the question of when you call it quits is a key component of the equation. Let's get some help from Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group, online at engagewealthgroup.com. Ed, thanks so much for joining us. You know, we all think about the retirement picture, or at least many of us do. But what is the biggest downside if you know, the retirement age rolls around and you think, you know what, I may have waited a little too long here?
Andy, this is a great topic because for many of your listeners, like you just stated, you know, achieving financial independence, and so instead of using the word retirement, may be a goal. But again, the key is to understand when you could potentially meet that goal, and understanding if you want to work or feel you have to work. That is the puzzle that needs to be solved. Because again, some people may be working longer than they should because they've already reached financial independence, but that they don't understand that they might be in that mode as of right now.
So, you know, you also mentioned, you know, the planning to work until you're old, that in itself is not a retirement plan. You know, expand on that a bit, if you could, for those who are maybe still kind of in the early process here.
Yeah. So again, that financial independence stage, how much money do you have coming in currently? How much money are you saving? And how do you balance against that whole plan? Because folks may be delaying Social Security until, let's say, age 70, or they might be looking at other options in terms of planning it, in terms of reaching those goals. And that's where, again, connecting with a certified financial planner to help guide you through that, right? Have an independent analysis of your goals to make sure that you are on track of meeting that goal, whatever that could be. We've got clients who wait potentially until their 70s and clients who may want to retire early. But again, that key question, Andy, do you feel like you want to work or do you feel like you're having to work because you just don't quite have those numbers down?
That's a great question. And I'm curious, too, you know, obviously it depends on each individual person and what kind of field you're in. But how does someone know when it is time to call it a career where to the point where they can do it financially comfortably?
Yeah, great question. Because during COVID, Andy, we had a number of unintended retirees where the companies thought they did not need those employees. So that's kind of the backside of this, right? You keep working until all of a sudden your company says, yeah, we no longer need you. And then there's planned retirements where you know you've got a certain date on the horizon and then making sure, again, is everything aligned, right? Is your taxes aligned, the investments, the retirement plan, and Social Security? And again, kind of coming back full circle, that's where engaging with a certified financial planner to take that comprehensive view. I can tell you, Andy, over the years, we've sat with clients who've told me that they want to work until I showed them they don't need to work. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, you mean I can retire in a couple of years or a couple of months? And the answer is yes, because you have that financial independence to be able to carry you through. Those are the conversations you want to have with a good professional to kind of help and guide you through all those navigating, right? Social Security claiming strategies and all the other elements, again, to help you understand, you know, can you stop working and what does that potentially mean? Or do you need to work? And again, what does that mean?
Absolutely. So Ed, before we let you go, kind of your biggest tip here for those who are maybe hearing this and thinking, you know, I didn't really think about it that way. You know, I want to do it comfortably, but I don't want to do it too soon or too late. What is your biggest piece of advice to make sure that people can call it a career at the right time?
Yeah, great, great question, Andy. The biggest thing is your spending plan. And this is counterintuitive for most people. The spending really dictates how well you're going to be able to perform in your financial independent years and if you're going to reach financial security. Most people focus on savings, but it's that balance of how much you're spending versus how much you've got in terms of saving and then income coming in. So spend a lot of time, if you would, on your spending plan. Understand how much you need, and that is the key balance. That will send the conversation moving forward in regards to, again, understanding if you can achieve financial independence within your retirement years.
Really fascinating and helpful stuff indeed. Thanks so much. That's Ed Jurtzen, Certified Financial Planner, founder of Engage Wealth Group at EngageWealthGroup.com. Don't forget to join us this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. And still to come today, our Monday Stock Picker.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It is Stock Picker Monday, and helping us out today is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk. Michael, happy Monday. Thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour today. Let's get right down to business here for your stock picks. Let's start with your first pick here for the week, Michael.
Good afternoon, Andy, and thanks for having me on. First pick is GPK, which is Graphic Packaging Holding Company. It's a boring little paper company, but what's not boring is that it's up about 50% in the last year alone. Stock trades at 12 PE. It's kind of under the radar. What I like about it is, besides the PE, is that it provides paper-based packaging, which is exactly what the economy needs right now. It has a lot of demand for its products. It's scheduled to make about $2.75 in 2024, but $3 in 25. That puts the forward P on the stock at 10. I mean, it's cheap. It's growing 10%. You just don't find stocks like this. I just think it's under the radar and not watched very well. And it's a nice little hidden gem.
All right, Graphic Packaging Holding Company, not exactly Dunder Mifflin. Sounds like there's some more going on at this paper company for sure. That is pick number one. Michael, give us your second pick here on this Monday.
All right, the second one is Rocket Lab, RKLB. This is the exact opposite of that first pick, and that's kind of why I did this. I have one more conservative one. This one, I caution investors, it's highly speculative. 5 to 10% of your portfolio maximum on the on this stock. But you know, it is a startup kind of company. They basically make rocket parts. They do launch services for satellites, etc. And it's a company that is in the right spot. Its target market is gigantic. And when you look at a stock like this, you want to bet on the idea, and you want to bet on the people behind it. The idea has a gigantic market possibility, so we love that. And then the people behind it, Peter Beck is a wonderful founder and entrepreneur, and they just hired Frank Klein as their COO. I would bet on Frank to get this company going. Since he's been hired, the stock's already doubled. It's still only $9. It's trading about $5 billion market cap. I just think this is a stock that you just put in your portfolio as a risky bet, but something that could go a 10x or in 3 to 5 years. So this is exact opposite of GPK, but I like both stocks.
All right, so there you have it. To recap our stocks here, Graphic Packaging Holding Company, that is GPK, and Rocket Lab USA, RKL. Great stuff, as always. Thanks so much. That is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, don't forget we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com as well as the Odyssey app.